funding that's been supporting childcare centers in Wisconsin since the height of the COVID-19 pandemic expired yesterday.
The state's Child Care Counts program distributed federal dollars directly to providers to keep them afloat. In 2025, that program was extended for 1 year by the state through bridge payments funded through interest earned on federal pandemic funding.
The end of that funding could cause about a quarter of Wisconsin providers to either close or significantly reduce their services, according to a report from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association.
Others will likely have to increase their rates. A survey released by the Department of Children and Families last week found that the cost of childcare in Wisconsin is already rising much faster than the rate of inflation.
Two Wisconsin childcare providers are here to talk about what they'll need to do to adapt to the end of Child Care Counts funding. Heather Murray is owner and operator of Art House Preschool in Wanakee. She's organizing Wisconsin's first child care gubernatorial forum this month. And Jen Bilderbeck is administrative director for Big Oak Child Care Center in Madison and vice president of the Wisconsin Child Care Administrators Association. Jen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Heather, these payments are ending. I understand you received your last Child Care Counts bridge payment for July. Now that you're not going to receive any more of this particular funding from the state or federal government, what will you need to do to adapt?
Well, I will be raising my tuition starting in August again. I've raised it 16% since 2022, and it'll go up another 3% in August.
And are you concerned, Heather, that raising your rates could price out some of the families you're currently caring for?
It's always a concern for me. Last time I raised my rates, I did end up losing two families.
And Jen, what's the situation like for you? What does the end of this funding mean at Big Oak?
We are in a very similar situation as Heather is. Like Heather stated, we will have to increase our tuition, and we usually do annually anyways under general circumstances with general increases to costs of our general expenses. But I think this year we will also have to look at an increase due to the lack of the bridge payments for our next fiscal year. We also are looking at different ways of and trying to be creative and potentially looking at, do we need to decrease staff hours? Are we going to look at options of less of raises, maybe freeze wages? There's a lot of different things that we're looking at and bringing to the table. But we have not made a decision on those things yet. But we know that they're there, and we know that we have to do something.
Heather, what is driving the costs for your childcare agency and others? What is it that's making this such a crunch?
Every center is different, but for my center, it's staff. I'm paying $18.50 an hour, and right now we're just barely cutting even. And if you want people who are educated to be with your kids, you're going to have to pay them a livable wage.
And Jen, are you seeing the same thing?
Yes, absolutely. Here in Madison, we are seeing the exact same thing. Our wages are anywhere from $20 to $25 an hour. And in order for us to maintain high quality staff that are trained and have their credentials, we do have to pay more. We also have to compete with other providers and competing with the school district for our 4K teachers, too.
Heather, this whole child care counts funding started as a COVID era program, seen as kind of an emergency for I think obvious reasons. It's continued. The state picked it up for a while. How much of a difference did that funding make for you?
I always tell people for 10 years, I ran this business without that. And then when the counts money started, I realized I could actually run the business without having to worry about the financial aspects of it. And Child Care Counts also has proven to work and help all centers keep their doors open.
Jen, you are not just working with Big Oak, you're with the Wisconsin Child Care Administrators Association. This is not just a Madison-Wanakee issue. Can you talk a little bit about what you're hearing from your colleagues around the state?
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, they're experiencing the same things that both Heather and I are, and some people more in urban areas are experiencing things more drastically in the effects that they can't pay their workers as much as we might be paying. So they are having a hard time keeping staff and finding staff to stay in child care centers. So I think when you look at the wages they were paying and able to pay with the assistance they were getting through bridge payments, and now it's going to be gone, that is going to be really, really tight. And that's where we're seeing some of the statistics of 1 in 4 centers potentially closing or having to modify things dramatically.
We're talking about the end of COVID era assistance for child care providers here in Wisconsin. We're talking with two providers about what they'll need to do to manage those changes. Heather Murray is with us, owner and operator of Art House Preschool in Wanakee. Jen Bilderbeck, administrative director for Big Oak Child Care Center and vice president of the Wisconsin Child Care Administrators Association. Jen, when are we going to start to see the impacts of these payments ending? Is this something that parents will notice a difference?
Well, technically, we've all applied for our last payments in June. And so everybody that applied and qualifies will receive their last payments in July. So that will be coming in July. And I think what we'll start to see is a lot of centers getting creative, really finding that, trying to find that sweet spot of how much can I increase my rates? How much can I reduce my other expenses? Maybe are they going to cut down operational hours? And I expect that that's going to start happening in August and September. And then we'll start to see a trickle effect. We do know that there isn't any sort of conversation in regards to some emergency funding or anything like that coming in. So then I think what we'll see throughout this fall and winter is some sort of bigger decline in centers being able to keep their doors open.
Heather, this is a state policy issue now. There's been a question, hey, will the state come through and fund this, pick up the funding again? They haven't. I understand you've been getting some visitors, Democratic candidates from governor coming to check out your daycare. What kind of things are you hearing from them? What kind of questions are they asking and solutions are they offering when they visit?
So they're all very, they realize childcare is an issue and something that they'll have to deal with once elected. They know that parents need accessible and affordable childcare. So they're talking about universal childcare or 7% of a parent's income. What we're trying to educate them about also is that providers also need to be supported because you can have you can have kids and parents who can get the childcare, but you have to have providers to provide the childcare.
Jen, what kind of ripple effects could a lack of childcare have further on down the line for the workforce, for the state economy?
Oh, a dramatic effect on our workforce. We know that if parents can't afford their childcare and have to make those tough decisions of one parent deciding to stay back home, we know then that is going to directly affect our state's economy. The ability for our state to tax an income tax helps sustain our state. And when you look at if it's going to be a one-person household going forward, we know that's going to dramatically affect our economy. So that's also going to be something that is going to trickle out as time goes on.
Heather, I've talked to people about childcare as a business or nonprofit for a long time now, and it seems like even pre-COVID, I was hearing, you know, parents are paying a lot, maybe more than they can afford. The workers aren't coming away getting rich out of this, right? It's hard to pay competitive wages. Do you see any kind of solution short of some kind of state or federal support to keep centers open and providing the quality that we want them to?
I just believe that the state investment, I don't think childcare can exist without state investment and on parents' tuition alone. Childcare accounts worked and we didn't. We kept advocating for it, and we'll continue to advocate for that state investment.
Jen, has anybody come up, as far as you're seeing around the state, with a model that really can thrive without making cuts, without that kind of child care counts or similar funding?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation in regards to what might work. I just left a Wisconsin policy forum that I was listening to, and there are a lot of people involved in what our state funding sources could look like that may be able to help this investment in the future. We have states like Vermont, Washington, Louisiana, Massachusetts, they're looking at tax-based incentives. So things like payroll tax, capital gains, different net profits on or net proceeds on things like, can we look at if we legalize marijuana or looking at the overall income tax for the state? Can we, look at areas like that maybe we could look at giving a certain portion percentage. And we're talking about percentages that are very small, payroll tax percentages that are under 1% to contribute to this, to childcare and help solve a lot of the financial issues with childcare. So I think we have a lot of states out there that we're working with and looking at to see what could be done. And I just hope we are, hope that we can find something that will work. I think the important part is not to look at just one very specific thing, but maybe different levels of support within our state and federal government.
I'm curious about demand. Last time I talked to folks doing childcare, they talked about, in some cases, wait lists, just not enough slots open. Heather, what are you seeing for demand? Can you provide openings for all the parents who want them?
Right now, any child under the age of 2 in my center, I have a wait list until fall of 2027. And in my preschool room, it's about 6 to 9 months, probably, for a spot. And I know everyone here in Wanakee has some sort of wait list.
And Jen, is that common? Are you seeing that at Big Oak and your colleagues around the state?
So at Big Oak, we have a wait list, and our wait list is for only children under the age of 2. Right now, because of where we're located, we compete for our 4-year-olds through 4K with the school district. So when we have school districts that are very close in proximity, we tend to not fill with our 4-year-olds. And part of that, too, is also there is less and less of 3- and 4-year-olds that just exist in general. And there is a lower population of that age group. And so for us, what we are seeing is that infant care is in very high demand.
We'll leave it there. Jen, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Heather Murray is owner and operator of Art House Preschool in Wanakee. She's also organizing Wisconsin's first childcare gubernatorial forum this month. And Jen Bilderbeck is administrative director for Big Oak Child Care Center and vice president of the Wisconsin Child Care Administrators Association. They joined us to talk about the end of pandemic-era support funding for child care centers here in Wisconsin.